Welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. On today's episode, our guest, Tracy Harrell, shares her own personal journey to success. Because success is a journey, not a destination. Here's the hosts of the Success Coaching Podcast, Todd Foster, Alyssa Stanley, and Kelly Scar.
Welcome to the Success Coaching Podcast. My name is Alyssa Stanley, and I am here with Kelly Scar and Todd Foster, my co-hosts. And I'm so excited to bring you a woman that I met just recently in one of our success coaching challenges, Tracy Harrell. You're going to love her, you guys. She is outwardly expressing, she lives her best life, and she 100% puts everything out in this world to make it a better place. Tune in, put your earbuds in. You're not going to want to miss this. Tracy, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
The Success Coaching Podcast. Ooh, let's do it.
So why don't you start off to tell the audience what you would like them to know first off? Then we'll start digging a little bit deeper. But who's Tracy right now?
So Tracy is someone who is, I don't know, people say this and I'm going to say it and I really mean, I'm living my best life. Yeah. What that means is, have you ever heard that term? Ikigai, where they talk about, it's a Japanese term. It's really about how do you live your best life. And when you find what you love to do, people, you know, you've heard this concept, what you love to do, what you do well, where there's a need in the universe and where you can get paid, those four intersecting circles in life is really where you're living your best life. So I'm actually got three of the four circles jamming at 100%. So I'm doing what I love. I know for 100%. Confident, with 100% confidence, I'm doing what I was meant to do, what I was put on this earth to do. I do it well. People like me. I'm likable and it's fun and it's high energy. So I'm doing what I love to do. I'm doing where there's a need in the universe. And so part of what I do is helping people to live their best life. That's part of it. The other half is really focused on this concept of leadership in the area of diversity and inclusion. So helping people to live their best life and being optimized in that area. To me, they're connected, but those are the two focus areas that I'm thriving in right now. And the fourth circle, which I'm not thriving is I haven't been a coach. So when I saw the call to coach, turn your coaching into a business with one of your challenges, I'm like, yes, like I've been doing this for free because I feel like I have some level of accountability to take the things I've learned in corporate America, apply them to this social challenge that we're all trying to figure out. It's actually not as complex as you think. And so for me, it's like, yes, I am a coach and I'm doing some coaching now. And it's like, yes, the world, I know for a fact the world needs what I offer. But I've been giving it away for free because I wanted so many people to have access. But the truth is, what you guys taught me is being a coach, especially being a certified coach, which I'm all in to this certification with success, is really how you get people to invest in themselves, to invest in a process, to truly invest in change. So you guys are my people. I'm all in.
I love it.
Yes.
I have a question for you. So you are animated, you're active, you're energetic, you're passionate about certain things in life. Did that start at a young age, or when did that actually kick into Tracy?
Oh my God, I wish I could get up and go show you first grade Tracy. She's adorable. So I actually did a live podcast as well called Bigger Than Me. And on my last show, I actually showed a picture of first grade Tracy. And I'm an internationally best-selling author who's contributed to three books. And I'm telling you that because in the last book called Ignite Possibilities, I introduced first grade Tracy. She was a flower child. Absolutely confident, courageous, super happy, love flowers and birds. I still do. But yes, I would have to say I was blessed with this kind of inner knowing. I'm a businesswoman who's worked 25 years in corporate America, but someone told me when I was younger that I was, you know, divine, the child of the divine, the creator of the universe. I'm like, how cool is that? If you have that type of inner knowing, it's kind of hard. What are you worried about? Like, where's there any energy to not thrive? So I would say, yes, I've been pretty blessed. Some people think I'm ridiculously optimistic, and I think that's my charm. So yes, I embrace that.
That's awesome. So you were 10 years old or 6 years old, first grade, I guess, or you could have been 3 years old with your education, it sounds like. And so just for everyone to know that Tracy has two master's degrees. She's done all sorts of things with the corporate work. The thing I'd like to really touch on is your time at Disney, because many people talk about Disney being this cultural icon, right? Where they have people come in and they have standards which are really high, and it provides an experience that many people will pay lots and lots and lots of money to attend, not just the theme park, yet also their Disney University or Disney College, they call it. Can you tell us a little bit about what your experience was with the Disney Corporation?
I can. And let me just start by saying I'm a Florida girl. So I was born in Florida. I went to school at the University of Florida. I grew up relatively poor, so I never really went to Disney. I don't recall growing up going to Disney, but I knew of Disney, and maybe I went once something as a young child. I think I went for grad night, so in high school, something like that, but it was not accessible to me as a child. And so my first job out of college was with IBM, and I worked in New York and North Carolina, Mexico City, Rio, Brazil. And then I came back to Florida and worked in South Florida as well. So, and then my dad got sick in Florida. So that's when I moved back to Florida and started with Disney. And that was kind of a dream job. And it was a family issue where I left living on the beach in Rio. I heard my father had colon cancer and I thought, well, clearly I need to be closer to home. So I moved to Disney. I mean, I moved back to Florida and, I went to a conference called the National Black MBA Association Conference, and got a job within, I don't know, I was probably there for a couple of weeks. Like, it was a divine connection. And so I started with Disney in finance, which is the original degree, my undergraduate degree. And Disney is not a Mickey Mouse operation. Let me just say that. It's all about data and technology. And at IBM, when I joined, you know, my first corporate job, it was in 92, and they were moving from Big Blue to a whole new shade of blue is what they called it. And so my brain was being tuned from this, you know, this top five, you know, organization on the S&P 500 to an organization who was now focused on solutioning and partnering and connecting. So my first job and my brain was kind of wired around solutions and collaborations and connectivity. So I brought that into Disney as if they needed that, right? Because Disney had this level of passion around customer service. So if you combine that Disney experience of solutioning, optimizing, working together, partnering with the Disney magic, and it is all about the magic, right? It's all about, you know, how do you, the Disney was about, the term I would use to summarize Disney was surprise and delight. If you had expectations about what your Disney experience was going to be, they wanted to surprise you and delight you and exceed your expectations, which is all about kind of how my mentality is as well. So my Disney experience was amazing. I can stop talking up and tell you more, but it was amazing.
You were very happy at Disney. You enjoyed what you're doing. Yet then it looks like you were offered another opportunity. So what was that experience like? Because you love Disney. You love the experiences. Was it a tough choice or a tough decision to say, hey, you know what? I'm leaving what I know. I've done this for, what, 5 or so years?
14. So let me be clear. I was at Disney for IBM for 8 years, Disney for 14. So I had a number of different roles at Disney. Again, not a Mickey Mouse operation, very corporate in nature. So I started in finance, a forecast and planning team. Then I was part of a special project, where we designed a new forecast and planning system for the entire Disney Enterprise. So there was a 3-person team. There was one person in charge of the parks, one person in charge of the resorts, and little Tracy was in charge of everything else. So marketing, operations, you know, sports, et cetera, because my brain like was able to connect all this information. So we had to understand the businesses and create a financial system that would work for parks, resorts, and everything else. An amazing opportunity, very technology oriented, but also very much about listening. You guys talk a lot about active listening as a coach. And so that worked for me as a coach. Everything I did was, I felt like I was a coach every day at Disney, right? So I also was a leader of leaders. After that role, I worked in marketing technology, sales strategy. I led the consumer, one of the travel industry marketing teams within a call center. Then I was part of their consumer insights or the research team. That was the last role I had. And when they were doing the super secret, some super secret projects like the Disney Band related to all the technology. Again, Disney is a high technology, amazing company focused on exceeding expectations, but also being leading edge in technology and process. And really that idea of coaching has always been key to the work that made me successful. So I think I'm a coach in my core. And I left Disney after 14 years. And there was an opportunity at Microsoft, once again, through the National Black MBA Association conference, which happened to be in Houston that year. And I was visiting a friend for her wedding. And so I wasn't looking for a job, but it was like, Disney, Microsoft, I could explore an opportunity with Microsoft. And so met the most amazing gentleman. Fred Jordan was his name, and there was an immediate connection. And what I loved about it is he offered to coach me. I was like the leader of leaders. I was president at Disney, which at the time was the largest single source, single site employer in the nation. And I was president of their diversity resource group called PULSE, P-U-L-S-E, People United to Lead, Serve, and Excel. So I was leading things. Like I was a leader. And this guy actually said he would coach me. He said he wanted to be my Sherpa. Who doesn't want a Sherpa? That's the term I use now when I'm helping people. So I had been coaching people and leading people. And now I had someone who said, I would coach you. Honestly, that was my job. Full disclosure. When you said good coaches need coaches, I knew that, but I wasn't getting coached at Disney. Not that there was anything wrong with that, because people were looking to me to be the coach. Great. But I needed to be coached, and there were a lot of project managers and project management roles at Disney. So I thought, this sounds like a stretch opportunity for me. Like maybe someone could pour into me. And so I really went following this cool dude, Fred Jordan, who said, I'll be your Sherpa. And I moved from Florida, which is the furthest southeast corner of the U.S., to Seattle, which is the furthest northwest corner of the U.S. And it was an amazing experience as well. But it wasn't a leap. I wasn't afraid. After the first interview, I called my honey and was like, hey, when I get this job at Disney, at Microsoft, are you coming with me to Seattle? Right? Like, it's a done deal. I had no question that I was going to get the job. It was just perfect timing. And it wasn't a question, because I needed to be coached, but I knew I was also a resource to help coach others.
So why the focus on leadership then moving forward into your current role? Is it based on your, you know, past experiences in leading, you know, organizations, or do you feel like there's a need for a rebranding of sorts in terms of leadership in North America specifically?
Both.
And I guess, is that what your focus is? Is that what you're trying to accomplish?
Yes, I'm going to say both and. Yes, and both of those answers are correct. So because I have now over 25 years of experience in corporate America, 8 years at IBM, 14 years at Disney, 5 years at Microsoft. I won't do like a spoiler alert, but what I wrote about when I left Microsoft, what I wrote about was, we'll talk about that in Tracy podcast number two. We'll go into some details on that. But to stay focused on your question, I had amazing leaders that poured into me, and I got to pour into others and into other communities. I mentioned the National Black MBA Association twice, and I mentioned it because I'm currently the president of the National Black MBA Association. I say MBA for Masters in Business Administration, not NBA, because I don't have a hoop game. But I got, my brain is my best asset. And I say that because there's 42 chapters around the country. I'm president of the Seattle chapter, the Seattle, Tacoma, Portland chapter. Basically, we kind of have a pretty broad reach. And as a leader of that organization, there was some energy that I was expending being, you know, also part of in Microsoft, part of the Blacks at Microsoft leadership team. These are volunteer roles. Part of the Women in Operations leadership team, volunteer role, again, leader of leaders. And then being president of the National Black MBA Association. And so Microsoft has amazing leaders. Again, some of my dearest friends are still there. But my level of responsibility and my obligation as a leader in both roles, right, was that, oh, boy, there's work that needs to still happen internally as it relates to equity and inclusion. My leadership team was all in. I started doing some additional training as president of the National Black MBA, as part of the Blacks at Microsoft leadership team, as a Black woman in America trying to do the right thing, right? Whatever you want to call it, right? As a coach by trade, realizing that I could make a difference. So my coaching and my leadership was called, internally, was called the Adaptive Leadership Equity and Inclusion Initiative. And it was like, hey, we're saying all these great things, but the lived experience for some people, right, is not aligned with what we're saying, but we can get there. Hey, here's how we can do it. You know, I'm all positive. You know, you can't, you know, people loved it because it was the right thing to do. When the truth speaks to your heart, anything is possible. Like when you take the next right action. So I was in a place to coach and to lead and to train as a leader, because to your point, there needs to be a different conversation around leadership, and adaptive leadership is about systems change. So it wasn't about what any one person was doing. It was about the system that we were all a part of. So if we're all part of a system that we want to change, we have to first acknowledge that we're complicit in the process, right? Good, bad, and ugly, which means we're also complicit and able to drive change in the process. So that was the work I was doing within the organization. And it was because I'm a natural leader, a natural coach, but people also wanted the change. They wanted the work to happen and they were saying all the right things. And my goal was to, as a leader, I think you guys talked about accountability. You can't say one thing and let the lived experience or your actions to not align with that. Like physically, I couldn't, that was not an option for me. And so as a recruiter of people into the National Black into through the National Black MBA Association into Microsoft, I had a personal responsibility when people would share experiences to help make things better. And again, because all parties were complicit, they were also all involved. And so I was being successful to a certain extent, up to a certain point, actually able to make change. So that's what really got me excited and kept me excited for a while.
What so based on your experience and what you've seen, what do you see as one of the biggest mistakes that leaders make today?
So as it relates to leadership, I would say, especially now, we have to acknowledge where we are. And you all said this in the coaching sessions as well, being really clear about where we are. So we're in the middle of a pandemic. So acknowledging that people's lives have been disrupted, some more than others. And so it's trying to continue things as they were in the middle of a pandemic is problem number one. So kind of acknowledging that you can't just move forward through current state. Problem number two is really acknowledging and being more aware that Zoom calls, right? When we do these community Zoom calls, I think they're amazing. But one of you all said on your coaching, in our coaching session today, I like to see people face to face. And I also like to connect with people one-on-one. So making sure that they take the time to also connect with individuals one-on-one. Oftentimes, people are not willing to say in a Zoom call that's probably being recorded with 20 people on the call for your team what they're really thinking. So I think there's been a lot of disconnection, a lot of lack of connectivity, you know, with people that you are responsible for supporting, right? And I think the other thing is looking beyond yourself. So my company is called It's All Bigger Than Me Consulting. When I first left Microsoft, I started It's All Bigger Than Me Ministry because it was like a ministry of the mind. I'm like, guys, we can change things. And so, Bigger Than Me is the name of my podcast, Bigger Than Me with Tracy Harrell. So really, I think a big problem is people not realizing that it's bigger than them. Like, it's not just about you as an individual, you know, putting out that one widget that might be your thing in business. I think as an organization, you're part of a system and you're part of a structure. So I think looking at the work that you do in a more systemic way, realizing that you're part of the solution and being able to think bigger than themselves would be item number three.
If you're enjoying this episode, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe to the Success Coaching Podcast.
It sounds like I need a flow chart for everything. I mean, I'm a visual guy. It looks like we need 14 spreadsheets.
Yes.
To even find out, keep track of this. So you have a lot of success in your life and you're definitely happy and you love life. And I'm assuming you've had some failures at some point too.
Yes.
Could you share with one of those failures that you had that you actually learned more from failing than you did from succeeding?
I can't. And I can't wait for session number two, because I'm going to have my books, which I normally keep right here. But like I said, I took them to the podcast this past Sunday, so I haven't brought them up. So I was fired from Microsoft. People would consider getting fired a failure. It was the happiest day of my life. I wrote about it in the book called Ignite Happiness. And what was so cool about that is I wrote in the book, just two-minute summary, is that when I was younger, I learned about like this value, my values, right? And there was this whole bigger than me concept in my head all along. Like, you know, I knew that I was meant to do something great in this world. I knew at some point in my life I'd be in this ikigai moment where I was doing what I loved, doing work that was needed in the world and where I could get paid to do it. And so fast forward to the day I got fired, it was the day after I had just done this amazing adaptive leadership, equity and inclusion session where people from around the company were saying, oh, you should be doing this for a living. That was amazing. I'm like, I know. Like, thank you. Not I know that I was great, but I know that I should be doing this for a living. But I really liked the comfort of having my check arrive in my bank account every week, every biweekly. Like there was something coming. When you're poor, the last thing you want is to be poor again, right? And so I've been successful, thank God, through some divine intervention. I did well in school without trying too hard. I'm thankful for that. I did well at IBM. I did well at Disney. I was doing well at Microsoft. I did submit accommodations request. So it was more like I was willing to put my well-being on the line for my people, for the process. So if you say one thing, then that means we actually have to do this thing, or, you know, where's the fun in that? Like, where's the fun in that? Right. So for me, it was like fighting a corporate bully. And I only use that terminology. Not that Microsoft is bad. No, Microsoft is wonderful. Leaders are amazing, but it's the system that we're all dealing with. No matter what company it is, you can be as great and have as many awesome leaders. If you're not willing to go deeper at a systemic level and say, what are the elements what are the challenges that might be, that I might be complicit with, right, in this process? What can we do to drive changes? So for me, I wrote about the first time I protected a girl that was about to be bullied on the bus. And I've been bullied for years, but you know. But when someone was going to bully this other girl who was new, I didn't even know her name, but I was just like, you know, enough is enough. And I describe in that story how I got off the bus, or I can't remember the details of it, but I got beat up, right? But as I was getting ready, boy, I was feeling super good about myself because the value was in standing up for what was right. And so as I got fired from Microsoft halfway through the session, right? It's halfway through my firing session. And I said, all I remember from the fight was this girl hitting me in the face. And my mouth filled with like blood. It was like this warm blood that filled my mouth. And I looked down and I guess I had on a white shirt or a light shirt and there was blood on my shirt. But I remember my mouth filling with, you know, something liquid, right? Tears mm-hmm. probably as well. But yeah. There's a lot going on in that moment. And so when I was getting fired at Microsoft halfway through the session, I literally heard this divine voice say, it's bigger than you. And I was like, I forgot. Thank you. So I literally smiled through the second half of getting fired. I literally hugged one of the ladies on my way out. I was like, oh my God. And I said, when it happened, I said, do you believe in divine intervention? And she said, yes. And I was like, this is that moment for me. Like, I just remember this is bigger than me.
You know, a huge component of what you've talked about with being a good leader and a strong leader is you never ask your people to do anything you're not willing to do.
Exactly.
And Tracy, you know, like I believe in divine intervention, but girl, you have worked your tail off. You have done everything from the bottom up that as a leader, you would ask your people to do.
You can't do it any other way.
And that has to have contributed to your strength as a leader.
Well, in some areas, don't get too excited because in some areas, yes, like this was a no-brainer for me. Like this was like, I'm president of the National Black MBA Association, Seattle chapter, which is part of recruiting. Mm-hmm. And the year before that, I did this like major push. So Microsoft was represented at the national conference with this amazing leader, the senior Black female leader was there. And we had all these booths and all these sessions and it was amazing. And it was great. The year prior. But again, that was my internal energy saying, guys, if we say this, then we should be a part of this thing. And they were, and it was great. Again, let me be clear. Microsoft is an amazing company. If anyone is going to be able to be a part of the solution, it's going to be Microsoft. So the leader who fired me, who was also the one who hired me, I've actually reached out to him and he's like, Tracy, with the work I'm doing, I'm like, I'm all in. He's like, I'm all in. I said, are you sure you're all in? He's like, I'm all in. All in. So when I say these are leaders and people who recognize that, and again, the best thing they could have done is fire me because let me forget. This is the key part. So, but even though they were giving me space to do this training at a like operations team was giving me space to do this training, adaptive leadership, equity and inclusion initiative. The new person that came in from D&I, she was from IBM and she had worked at IBM for 30 years. So I know the IBM culture. Again, I was in the new, you know, phase of IBM becoming, you know, but if you've been there for 35 years and you knew Big Blue when Big Blue was Big Blue, right? So you knew that space and there's something about that energy. And so amazing lady, Lindsay Ray, I think her name was, so amazing. We had some amazing conversations, but new. So everyone's on a journey. They're just at a different point in their journeys. And so when Lindsay Ray came into Microsoft from Disney after being there for 35 years, what she said to me lovingly, and I'm so thankful for you, Lindsay Ray, mwah, 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 is, you know, She said, Tracy, I'm sure there's some pockets of Microsoft that are ready for what you're doing that's bigger than me, this adaptive leadership stuff. I've only heard good things. But we're going back to the basics. Now, back to the basics means we ain't ready to actually do the things that we're saying, basically. We need to go back to the basics so I can, you know, regroup. Yep. Thank you. That was the best thing she could have said and done for me. And so we lovingly, and she said all the right things. Like I said, everyone's at a different place. I was just at a place in my personal life where I needed to see change at a much, much more rapid space and a rapid, you know, pace. And I even had leaders come to me and say, you know, it's the worst thing when you tell someone who's so smart and, you know, that, you know, we're a big organization. You know, we move like the Titanic, but like a, you know, like a tanker, right? You're not making any fast. You're not, you know, diving in between. Mm-hmm. It's a tanker type move. And so, you know, it's the worst thing for us. And I heard all the words, but nothing was slowing me down. As you can see, I got a little energy on this topic. Nothing was slowing me down. And I really couldn't hear it. Like, I needed to be fired. So people consider firing a failure. It was the happiest day of my life. Best day of my life, because I went into, then I had to go into this work around how can I make the world a better place? Like, grateful for what I had. I had also saved money in my 401k. I've now cashed in my 401k and I'm officially deficient when it comes to financials, which is why I say that that's the part of my life that I'm amplifying now. But I needed to invest in myself. I needed to invest in my community. So I came out starting this podcast, which was called Bigger Than Me, the bigger than me, right? And so that work was huge. It was the failure turned into a triumph because it was like, I had to fight that corporate bully. Did I win? No. As I sat there, and I say, as I sat there with the tears running down my face, I won. Like, I was just like, I didn't win the battle when I first fought my first bully, my first fight. I didn't win the battle, but I definitely won the war. Right. Cause inside I knew I had done the right thing. Right. And the same thing happened as I was leaving Microsoft. It was like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all I've learned. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all the amazing people that are here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being honest that you weren't ready to do this work at the level and the speed that I was moving. And thank you for cutting me free basically so I could go do some other things. And so thank you. And thank you. And thank you. Failure, you know, being fired could be a failure, but it was the happiest day of my life. And it's allowed me to create content that was really for others. So I was then coaching to the universe on a podcast.
It really doesn't sound like a failure, Tracy, at all. Like you, I think the reason why it doesn't sound like a failure is a couple of different things. First off, people are not as blessed as you to be able to have that perspective in the middle of a meeting where they're being let go from a company, right? They don't typically gain that perspective, if they ever gain that perspective, until, you know, days later, weeks later, months later, right? I've been fired from jobs, and it took me years to realize that, you know, the guy that fired me from, you know, the shop position actually did me a favor. And the funny thing is, my brother actually is now working for that guy. And I told my brother, hey, go thank that guy for me.
Right?
If the next time you talk to him, tell him he did me a favor, thank him for me. Right. So years later, so you have this perspective. So that I guess that's probably why it doesn't sound like a failure. So I don't know that I fully accept your explanation that being fired from Microsoft is a true failure for you, just because of the perspective that you had, the blessed perspective that you had in the middle of that meeting. Secondary to that is, you know, you also had the foresight to really, know exactly, maybe not exactly what you wanted to do, but you knew exactly where your strengths were, right? And you knew that doubling down on your strengths were going to, you know, as Gary Vaynerchuk has said this, you know, part of self-awareness is understanding what your weaknesses are and doubling down on your strengths. Right. And so this is, you know, you're a very self-aware individual. You have this ability to be able to, you know, take, you know, drain your 401k, double down on your strengths and push forward. So I'm going to push back just a little bit and say this probably wasn't a big failure for Tracy, that you absolutely, you know, you have this divine intervention or perspective, whatever you want to call it. And then the self-awareness and ability to double down on what it is that A, truly makes you happy, and B, you know, the impact that you can have on the world. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. And let me tell you, thank you. It's good to, I think you almost have to claim the failure. I'm using the word failure because being fired isn't fun, right? And I wanted to make sure people knew that being fired is not the end of the world. It could be the happiest day of your life if you allow it to be. And so I got to say it and put it out there because I think people need to know that it's possible. And like I said, in the meeting, like I said, divine intervention, as the tears filled my mouth, literally, I reflected back to the first time I was fighting a bully, and those, my mouth was filled with blood, and it was so surreal. I actually blacked out for a minute. I think, I don't think I even heard what they were saying at one part of it. So I just like sat there like, thank you. Like, wow, is this really my life right now? Like, yay. And so I sat there and just kind of wiped my tears and was like all in. Now what's the next part of this? Let's keep it. And then I called a friend of mine. I called two ladies who will testify. Then I called them and said, oh my God, ladies, you got to go out. Let's meet at, there's a place called Blue Bistro here. It's on the water. You get this beautiful view of Bellevue from the Seattle side. So it's gorgeous. So I was like, let's go meet for lunch. So they had no idea, but I'm like, I'm in celebration mode at this point, right? I'm like, let's go meet for lunch. You have to get this lady. One of the ladies, her name is Kim. She's a white lady. The other lady was a black lady. They both worked at Boeing. And when I said, you know, I was like, hey, so today is like, I said, remember how I talked about I wanted to do some, you know, coaching and I wanted to do this work full time. Well, guess what? Today I got the full approval to do that. I was like, I got laid off from Microsoft. And so now I get to blah, 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 whatever those things are. And they're looking at me like, is she having a breakdown? I didn't know this until later. They were smiling. They were very supportive. But they told me like months later, they were like, we weren't quite sure if you were going to have a breakdown later. You were very positive in the moment, but they weren't really sure what was happening. And I was like, thank you for supporting me. I didn't know that there was any doubt, right, on their part. But yeah, it was pretty exciting. And the failure was, just to clarify real quick, the failure part, and I only use that, I have to use that word because I did invest in myself for X number of years. In October, I couldn't pay my rent. Like I just started coaching for dollars this month. Like I just got those dollars in. So I'm not going to call it a failure per se, but financially to go from my biggest fear, which I talked about in book number one, I think it was, you know, being homeless. Well, not being able to pay your rent is freaking homeless, right? So to be 5 minutes from being homeless is a problem, clearly. And I wasn't ready to like make that switch, if that makes sense. I was on unemployment for a while. The unemployment stopped early. It was supposed to go through November. It stopped in September. I was, you know, living paycheck to paycheck or living unemployment check to unemployment check for a while. And I was doing work for free for everyone because I wanted to change the world for free. And what I realized is that November timeline, I was working toward November. It ended early, but I was able to get the check starting in November, like I thought was going to be the plan. And so I'm not homeless now, but it was, you know, clearly facing my last fear, which getting fired was pretty high on the list because I never really fit in, right? Like I'm always darker, taller, louder, smarter, honestly, in a lot of cases, but that's a whole nother story. Right. So when you don't actually fit in, there's always this back of your mind fear that you might get, you know, you might not fit in, you know, I mean, the whole point of human existence is being in tribes together and being on a team, et cetera. So, you know, being not fitting in was kind of a challenge, always in the back of my mind, but also being comfortable being as authentic as I can while also fitting in. There was always that for me. So I got to face my fear of not fitting in and getting fired. It was like, okay, those aren't your people anymore, but you can find your people. So, which is why when I say I sat in a class with you all just a few days ago, it was like, these are some more of my people. I fit here. You don't have to fit everywhere, but I fit with people who are high integrity, who will hold me accountable for me doing the right thing and help to elevate my game. So financially, again, that's the area of my life that I'm focused on right now. But this is going to be a $1 million year for me. I'm like already, I've already seen that too. So I'm not concerned about it. And I'm going to still be able to do tons of stuff for free and to create this bigger movement and messaging around what it takes to truly be inclusive. It's really not as complex as I think a lot of people make it.
So I'm going to counter Kelly here for a second where he said that this might not be a failure. I'm coming for you, Kelly. So I firmly believe that failure is a choice. Things that happen to you might be out of your control, but failure is a choice. So when you were sitting in that boardroom and you got fired, you had 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes in your heart where you might have felt failure. But then you decided to make a choice or divine intervention or whatnot to transfer that from failure to opportunity. So whether or not you failed for 3 years or whether or not you failed for 10 minutes, failure is a choice. So I think that could be considered a failure. She just didn't fail for very long.
I like her. I'm down with, I like that. Are you comfortable, Kelly, with that compromise?
Yeah. You know what? I think we're actually saying the same thing. If I'm honest, I mean, this is all perspective, right? I mean, you can either choose whether you're failing in that moment or choose whether there's opportunity in that moment. So, you know, it all matters in the choice and in which road you decide to take. Like, as an example, my brother who got hired by the guy that fired me like years and years and years ago, was actually fired by, a fairly large construction, like their, Finning is the name of the company. He's a mechanic. And so he was let go by them and he's still really upset. You know, I can just tell by talking to him and seeing the Facebook posts and stuff, but he's sitting in that. Right. He's sitting in that. Yet he also got hired on by this company that I was employed by. And he's making like $7 or $8 extra per hour. Right. And it's like, hold on a second. Like, why are you sitting in all of this self-loathing in this negative environment? Why aren't you embracing what's, you know, the true positivity that's happened to you here in the last couple of weeks? You know, you got a big buyout from that company. You're now working, making $8 more per hour, you know, than you were before. Like, there's so many positives to, but he chose to go negative, you know, unfortunately. And I think it ultimately comes down to a matter of perspective. And so I hope for him that he gains that same perspective that you found within, you know, halfway through your meeting. Hopefully it doesn't take him as long as it took me to gain that perspective, you know, a couple of years or whatnot. But yeah, I think, Alyssa, I think we're kind of saying the same thing. Todd, why don't you jump in here and be our moderator?
Yeah. I agree with both of you. I think all three of you are correct.
And there you go.
I'm not coming for you, Kelly. I'm nicer than that. I just had to be a little intimidating.
I love you guys so much.
All right. Well, why don't we hold that thought, guys? I think we've had an amazing conversation so far. This has been, you know, probably one of the funnest. Todd, you nailed it earlier on that saying that this is probably going to be the funnest show that we've shot outside of the Ben Fairfield show. I mean, I think this is actually funner than Ben Fairfield. I think that's exactly what you said. But anyways, let's leave it right there. Let's jump into, the bad days and the childhood and all that kind of stuff. Let's do that on part two of the Tracy Harrell interview. How does that sound?
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Success Coaching Podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, please follow or subscribe to the Success Coaching Podcast at your favorite podcast provider. For special access to past recordings, videos of past episodes, and more, please become a Success Coaching Podcast companion at successcoachingpodcast.com.